What up, y'all? My name is Dugney, and welcome to another episode of Aggressive Negress. Welcome, 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 welcome. Where we'll be transgressing on today's taboo topics involving empowerment, gender, race, relationships, and more through the lens of pop culture. If you've ever been to a house party, people sometimes congregate in the kitchen to chat, so grab your solo cup and let's talk. So, as I've mentioned in the past, I have permanent front row center seats to watch Robert Kelly be burned at the stake. And I brought marshmallows. I brought chocolate. I brought graham crackers. Everything you need is fitting to be lit. It's fitting to be lit, y'all. And I also talked about in some of my previous episodes, a person only referred to as quote unquote former employee. He was in a Lifetime documentary and he seemed to have all the tea, all of it, right? And I've had several conversations since about how culpable former employee and other former and current members of his staff are in this whole saga. Especially since the documentary made it seem like Robert was very careless and very nonchalant about all of his sex tapes. Well, well, the universe apparently agrees with me, okay? And I'm all the way okay with that. Now, I'm sure his staff just, you know, wants to avoid jail time, so they're all singing like canaries. Either way, niggas are starting to roll on Robert Kelly. Last week, Robert was arrested by the federales. The reports say that more than 20 videos of Robert having sex with underage girls have been handed over to the feds by people from his inner circle. On top of that, he's also facing a new 5-count indictment in New York City for sex crimes involving minors. And these are being tacked on to the pre-existing criminal investigations in Atlanta and in Chicago. Oh, baby, what a time to be alive. And as it were, there's also no better time than now to do a best of episode. So sit back, relax, steam a blunt, sip a Bex. Yeah. And enjoy Aggressive Negress, best of R. Kelly's bullshit. The topic that is currently tearing family and friends apart, R. Kelly. So, Lifetime recently aired a documentary called Surviving R. Kelly that chronicles his sexual predatory behavior with underage black and brown women. Behavior that the singer denies, however, the allegations of abuse have been around since the infancy stages of his career. The documentary later goes into the stories of families who are currently still trying to get their girls home. People close to R. Kelly are interviewed, such as family members, his former background singer, people who used to work for him, and many others. I had a Facebook friend post that this whole thing was saddening and triggering as fuck, particularly by everyone's responses, even some of her own. And you guys, I felt that. I really, really did. In contrast, I had another friend who wasn't even bothered because they were never a fan. They have never and would never co-sign a pedophile. I couldn't say the same. Because honestly, R. Kelly was my guy. Okay? My college roommate freshman year was from the Shy, and we bonded over many, many things. And for the last time, they're called sneakers, not tennis shoes, okay? But one of those things was R. Kelly. Okay? We would sing and dance along to that Chocolate Factory CD. I idolized him with pictures from Word Up and Right On magazines on my wall. And so I definitely identified more with my Facebook friends' posts. Let me be clear. R. Kelly is a disgusting human being. Point blank, period. Hashtag not up for debate. But for me personally, I also feel remorse about how I felt about him. I loved him. I loved his music. Remorse about what he's done to other artists who I love, like Aaliyah. And ultimately what that says about me as a person. Case in point, why did R. Kelly's streams go up? Jada Pinkett Smith asked that exact same question on her Instagram recently, prompting her followers to join her on a Facebook Live to discuss it. I think the answer is simple, really. We all wanted to see what we missed and when we missed it from what we saw in the videos and the footage and the songs that we listened to over the years. You know, something like, girl, look in a back and forth video the way he grabbing up on Aaliyah. Or, you see how he throwing sparkle around in that video? Mm-mm, girl, that ain't acting. They played a clip of one of his songs, Honey Love, from the 12 Play album. You know, sort of talking about how groundbreaking it was and the lyrics and all that. And I'm sitting on the couch watching and I'm like, Honey Love? How did that video go again? Let me stream it. I'll just stream it. And boom, now I've got Gimme That Honey Love like stuck in my head and it just won't leave. I didn't want that, but it's stuck there now. So, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why, for sure. Ebro, a popular radio personality here in New York, mentioned being able to successfully separate the music from the man, saying, quote, shitting on R. Kelly for his animalistic allegations and believing the woman that have accused him has been my norm. But acknowledging he made amazing music is honesty. And see, that's the crossroads where I'm at. And I'm not sure if it's because Ebro's a man and fails to feel full empathy for the victims or what. But as I said, R. Kelly was my guy. And keyword was. And I'm not saying the documentary is what did it. Please know that he's been canceled by me for some time now. But the detail in which the documentary went into, well, as my Facebook friend put it in her post, it's triggering as fuck. I'm almost having an existential crisis of sorts. And yes, that's serious. I can't simply say, well, the music was good. Wonder what he's cooking up next. Can't wait. No. No. A favorite phrase of mine is, when you know better, you, and I'm imagining you guys finishing that sentence, but when you know better, you do better. And another favorite phrase of close relation, especially when I'm 100% sure that you did know, and there's still no change, is more along the lines of, okay, well, it isn't because you don't know, but because you don't care. That being said, it's very few of us who would have been able to say, you know what? We have something here. With my sister, my daughter, my niece, the kid is a star. We're about to blow up. The guarantees have been made. Record contracts have been signed or close to it. But you know what? No thank you, sir. I seen what you did with her. I heard what you did with her. I know what you did with her. We're going home. And on top of that, I suggest you get a lawyer. There's very few of us who would do that. I think there's a lot more of us who, in that same situation, the reply would have been, you know what? That last song we were listening to, that's the lead single. Okay? Let's unpack that. Let's unpack that response real quick. And side note, it's okay if that's not even where your mind immediately goes. I mean, there's a hell of a lot of moving parts here. You're trying to justify, unjustify a lot of things. You know, but ultimately you kind of settle with, yeah, that song's the lead single. What I'm trying to get at is this. It's not some blatant, hey, maybe she should stay with you for a week to work in your home studio and maybe tweak some things. You know, on some throw her back into the lion's den type shit. Nor is it, oh my God, bro, you're a genius. This is great work. You're awesome. Yeah, where you're almost praising the abuser because now you're effectively co-signing or vouching for that person. That's not what you're trying to do, right? So you kind of just stick with, you know what? The work is being done. It's gonna be fire. The album is gonna take off. You can just feel it. It's palpable. And this is about to make my sister, my daughter, my niece blow up. And ultimately, especially if you came from humble beginnings, you see that money. Guys, money is indeed the root of all evil. And if you don't feel that way, it's because you haven't hit that core root yet where such evil resides. Look at the way corporations move. We live in a capitalistic society. Hell, it's January 2019, and we're currently in a whole government shutdown because of squabbles over federal dollars. But getting back on topic, you over here thinking, okay, we're about to blow up. You know, on some Martin shit. And not for nothing, your sister, daughter, niece, blowing up is important to you because then you blow up. On some Martin shit again. What was it Cole was saying? When I blow up, kaboom, we all blow, you know, some shit like that. All my Martin heads know the deal. And now this is where a lot of times households will sort of overlook behaviors and go on with the status quo. It's a really hard cycle to break, an even harder one to live in. That's a fact. There are just so many layers. But basically, you're acknowledging the reality of the situation. The star quality is there, there's no doubt about that, right? So let me just try to adjust how I move. And there's self-awareness in that behavior. So, for example, where she goes, I go. I'm going to do my best to never let her out of my sight. Or if the abuser comes around, I'll make sure it's in a public space, some sort of safe space. Or you may have heard it as, you know, put some clothes on when so and so comes around. Just something. And your mind tries to justify this change because, you know what? I'm going to do my part to curtail the abuse. In my mind, that is something that I can do to hopefully stop it, which is unlikely to happen, of course. But, you know, certainly slow it down a bit, maybe buy some time until there's some sense that could be talked into either party. Keep in mind, Aaliyah's mother released a statement saying that she traveled everywhere with her, even when she was on tour, refuting some of the allegations made in the documentary. And while I'm sure this is true, and her mother may wholly believe this to be an absolute fact, you guys, who hasn't been an adolescent teen boy or girl? Some of y'all had parents that were strict as fuck and seemingly everywhere. Another one of my favorite phrases comes to mind here, where there's a will, there's a way. And there's no group that'll find a way more than a hormonal teen. I mean, Lord help us if Aaliyah was actually still alive to speak on her behalf. I mean, I wonder what she'd say. Would things have been different if she and others like her had an aggressive negress in their corner, 10 toes all the way down? So, you know, you move on, the lead single drops, she does indeed blow up. It's a wrap now, okay? The money is flowing. And again, there are a few of us who would stop that bag once they're coming in consistently. But it's a lot more of us who would just adapt and continue to modify our behavior to where we think we're making a difference. And in your head, you probably are. But at the same time, the bags are being secured. You can deny it if you want to, but everything has a price. In other words, What's the value here relative to time spent in the effort to achieve that which we hold in high regard? And of course, with money comes the power. In this country, that's kind of the 1-2 punch. You ultimately choose how to wield said power, for good or for evil, if you will. Miss Lauryn Hill said it best. You can get the money, you can get the power, but keep your eyes on the final hour. And that final hour will come, y'all, for R. Kelly and everyone like him, in this lifetime or the next. And my vote is 100% for this lifetime. But, you know, those sort of things aren't up to me. Lastly, if it isn't clear yet, you guys, I have only seen the first part. Lifetime calls it episode 1 of 6 total episodes. Pray for me, y'all. All right, so after the first episode of Aggressive Negress, where I dived into the R. Kelly situation, this was after watching the first part of the Surviving R. Kelly documentary, I said I wasn't going to talk about this nigga again. If you want to dive into that episode, it's called Are You and R. Kelly More Alike Than You Think? Again, Aggressive Negress is now available wherever you listen to podcasts. I highly recommend that you check it out. But anyway, like I said, I wasn't planning on bringing him up as a subject on this podcast again. But God, God, ooh, child, God had other plans. You hear me? Man, so Mr. Robert Kelly, if you haven't heard, was charged this week in Cook County, Illinois, with 10 counts, 10, okay, 10 counts of criminal sexual abuse involving at least 3 underage victims between 1998 and 2010. The counts each carry a maximum of 7 years in prison. That is a maximum of 70 years, in case math is not your strong suit. Okay. His DNA. What? Oh my God. Oh Jesus. Take the wheel. His DNA was found in semen on one of the accuser's shirts, as well as semen found on one on a shirt worn by another individual that was submitted for DNA testing. Okay, DNA, y'all know what that. Everybody has a specific makeup. This is his fucking DNA. All right. Praise Jesus. Praise. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? And by the way, due in large part to the Surviving R. Kelly documentary, Cook County's state attorney Kim Fox actually asked that, you know, the possible victims of sexual assault or domestic violence, you know, by the hands of R. Kelly, she asked that they come forward in order to open up a new investigation. And honey, my guess is quite a few of them took her up on that. And So just last week I had retweeted a tweet from Michael Avenatti. He's an attorney. He's representing several of R. Kelly's victims. In it, he said that he had just turned over new evidence to Cook County prosecutors. What evidence, you ask? A motherfucking videotape. A tape. Another tape. Not the same joint that he had, you know, at the old trial or whatever. Another one. And what got me is this. Okay, this tape is supposedly clear as day. right? If you remember R. Kelly's last trial, you know, back in the day, there was a lot that was said about, oh, you know, that's not him on the video. That's not him. That's not him. That's his brother, you know, on the tape. That's not him. Well, honey, we got you dead to rights now, okay? This time in full 1080p, HD quality. Nigga, that is you. Okay, it is clear. It is clear. The young girl, you know, and the man in it, you know, allegedly, but is Robert. In the video, they both refer to that child's body parts as being 14 years old. You know, they're referring to the young lady as being 14. You know, in it, he's also positioning the camera, you know, zooming in, zooming out, kind of doing his whole director's edition thing with it. He even apparently asks the young woman to urinate and then urinates on the young lady as well. Again, if you recall his last trial, there was a lot of media fodder about him peeing on the young women on the tape. So clearly, this nigga is up to his old tricks. He's still peeing on girls. Like, what in the actual fuck is wrong with you? So, Bond, you know, Bond was set for him earlier today. Earlier today, as a matter of fact. Bond was set at $1 million. $1 million. I'm sure he was able to pay that. That's, you know, it's probably a drop in the bucket. But trust and believe. Y'all, trust and believe. I cannot wait to step, side to side over R. Kelly's motherfucking grave. I am going to throw a fiesta at this man's downfall. It seems like you're ready to go under the jail, sir. I hope niggas get all up in your chocolate factory every single night while you are in there. And look, I know it's pretty, you know, it's pretty drastic. It's going pretty far to wish death, you know, on somebody. But I said what I said. I am here for it all. I cannot wait to see how this shit unfolds. I don't, you know, and who knows what'll happen. I'm pretty sure at the end of this, I might be a little upset. You know, I'm trying to manage my expectations, but I really, 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 really hope that justice is served. This is me, like, being 100%, like, I really hope justice is served here. I really do. And so with that being said, I may just have to keep talking about this piece of shit. Cause y'all know I'm gonna be wanting to give y'all the updates. Like, what? You know, as a side note, funny enough, as a side note, I was brunching in Brooklyn last weekend. I won't mention where because the place was just terrible. It was terrible, but they had a nice little 90s and, you know, early 2000s little hip hop and R&B playlist going. It was cute. So the first few seconds of Ignition comes on and I turned to my friend like, ain't this about a bitch? Like, are they for real? Like, for real right now? And like, maybe like 5 seconds after I said that, someone who, you know, must have shared my same reaction and sentiments, someone hit next on the playlist, right? Someone hit next and some other shit started to play. And I look at my friend, we all busted out laughing, you know what I'm saying? Because of the timing of it all. But yeah, y'all better have changed that shit. You know, fuck. I mean, I'm never going to eat there again, but still.
You are testicles. and no share.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to your share?
There's powerful niggardry at work here.
So, Bet, as I mentioned previously, I am 100% absolutely keeping my eye on this R. Kelly case. You know what I'm saying? There's powerful niggardry at work here. And we, as a collective, have to make sure that these evil forces don't succeed. Okay? In another example of bitch, you tried it, Robert sat down with Gayle King in early March. I'll call him Robert for the calm way that that Gayle said his name as he just went batshit crazy on her over the course of their interview. I won't get into too much detail because Robert has since been turned into, you know, the laughing stock of all the internets who are known to have zero chill. There are memes and gifts aplenty, so, you know, help yourselves. Outside of Robert's emotionally defensive and combative demeanor, I did notice something else. So Gayle also questioned Azriel Clary and Joycelyn Savage, whose parents, if you recall, were featured in the Surviving R. Kelly documentary, along with the mother of Dominique Gardner. And if you recall, a former employee, that's all they were credited as in the documentary, the former employee had mentioned that of all the girls in the house, staff members had routinely tried to help Dominique escape. I guess she was like tomboyish and super rebellious and reportedly always bumping heads with Robert. So there's that. And then in another part of the documentary, Dominique's mother was able to actually make contact with her daughter. And eventually she was able to get her to leave with her. So there's a really powerful scene where hotel staff does like the police knock at their hotel room, and then none other than Dominique opens the door. And so the mother comes around the corner, she starts pleading with her daughter, like, you know, baby, just listen, let's just walk away, you know, come with me, just walk away. And at one point, Dominique kind of hesitantly, you know, looks back behind the door and back into the room. Right. And her mother, you know, kind of asked her, and she's like, basically just right above a whisper. She's like, you know, is there someone in there with you? And Dominique's like, yeah, Joycelyn. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you can literally connect the dots and do the math in your head as you were watching the documentary. So anyway, the former employee, so again, this person is, it's, there's a hidden person, their voice is disguised, and they're literally credited as former employee. So former employee says that at the house, Azriel had like precedence over the other girls in the sense that R. Kelly would consistently share his bed with her at night. You know what I'm saying? They would sleep together in the same bed at night. And as a result, she sort of became like the de facto leader of the house. Fast forward to, you know, I'm watching this Gayle King's interview with Azriel and with Joycelyn. They're sitting side by side. And you could absolutely see Azriel's like fiery personality. You know what I'm saying? Like Joycelyn barely got a word in because Azriel's like speaking over her the whole time. You know what I'm saying? She spoke over Gayle several times. You know what I'm saying? She gave Gayle like major attitude, right? At one point, Joycelyn just kind of falls back and lets Azriel run point. She lets her take control. So again, even now in this March 2019 interview, You could connect the dots and you could do the math between the present day and R. Kelly's past, especially as you look at it through the lens of the documentary. And there's drama here too, though, I personally don't care for that shit. It's fucking just look. I previously mentioned the attorney Michael Avenatti. He was working with Cook County's state attorneys. He represents several of the of R. Kelly's victims. But then this motherfucker, this attorney, goes and gets arrested by the feds on charges of extortion, embezzlement, bank fraud. Before it was Jussie who was fucking with the church's money. Now it's the victim's attorney. He's literally embezzling the church's money. And of course, R. Kelly's attorneys, they've pounced on these new developments, trying to sort of find ways to damage Michael Avenatti's credibility in any way that they can. And but there's like a silver lining in all this, though, which is to say, just this week, R. Kelly was supposed to be in court to answer to a civil lawsuit filed by a woman who claimed that he sexually abused her back in 1998, when she was only 16. The woman is one of the four alleged victims who, when they came forward, that was the beginning of, what led to him being charged with the 10 counts of criminal sexual abuse. And I say supposed to be because no one on R. Kelly's side showed up to the court hearing. So he basically lost that case by default. By fucking default. I think they go back to court at some point next month. This court hearing at this time, that's to determine the amount that R. Kelly will have to pay in damages to the woman. And I hope this woman, I hope she gets her coins, all the coins, because so far, for some reason, R. Kelly has struggled to pay back some monies that he's owed. He struggled to pay his bail when he initially got arrested. He got arrested again on back child support on two separate occasions. Some fucking woman, some female acquaintance stepped in to pay off each of the amounts on his behalf, which makes me sick to my fucking stomach. Unless, of course, they are willing to step in again and pay the woman her money as well. In which case I was like, I best one out of three. That's not bad. So, continue anonymous benefactor to, keep saving this nigga. So whatever. But I think we all could agree that's highly unlikely. But we shall see. So while on this subject, let us pivot for a moment to Cardi B. These last 365 days or so have been great to Cardi. She's had a number one album, chart-topping singles, awards, and accolades out the ass, a new husband, a new baby. She hasn't been a stranger to controversy throughout it all, and the latest hashtag, Surviving Cardi B, was no different. So apparently, an IG live video from 2016 popped its ugly little head out in March of this year, 2019. In it, Cardi said she used to take niggas to a hotel, drug them, and then get them for they shit, while they were incapacitated or otherwise knocked out. And in the wake of all the R. Kelly news, niggas got their little doo-doo stained panties in a bunch. The hashtag went viral along with tons and tons of memes as people just try to sort of fashion their own pseudo hashtag Me Too movement out of the story. And I think y'all get where I'm going with this. Shut your bitch asses up. Just go somewhere. Go on. Go on somewhere. Let me preface what I'm about to say by first stating this plainly. Drugging men and then robbing them is fucked up. This act, in and of itself, not cool. It wasn't cool. It's in any way, and in no way am I excusing it. But listen when I say this shit is not the fucking same. R. Kelly, not the same. Bill Cosby, not the same. Shut all y'all's bitch asses up. Anybody who's trying to sort of connect the dots and make it the same, it is not. In the episode of my podcast where I first talked about R. Kelly, I talked about power and the abuse of it. I specifically said, with money comes the power. You ultimately choose how to wield said power for good or for evil. R. Kelly used his celebrity status to commit multiple acts of sexual abuse against women and underage girls for decades. Cosby's ass used that same status to drug and rape women. I hardly think we can compare the power that these men wielded to Belle Calise working as a stripper, okay? Dancing probably for similar type niggas, you know what I'm saying? The same niggas coming up to her like, yo, what's up, ma? You trying to fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, back up. No. You guys, thank you so much for listening to Aggressive Negress. I am your host, Dudney. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at I am Dudney. This podcast social media pages are at A underscore Negress on Twitter and at Aggressive Negress on Insta. Y'all can hit me up anytime, anytime. And be sure to at me or use the hashtag Aggressive Negress. Please, please, please share this episode. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend. Go on and hit that subscribe button too. Don't be shy. Just go ahead and hit it. Click on it. Hit it right now. Every time someone subscribes to Aggressive Negress, an angel gets its wings. So you don't want to run afoul of that, I assume. So hit it. We can be found on iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Red Solo Cup cheers, you guys, and thanks again for coming to my kitchen talk. Bye.